Yeah, so wall sits or squats are just as much about endurance as they are about strength. And to last longer, you have to be willing to put up with the pain, right? Yeah, that's the hardest part. It's the mind gain of the pain. So tonight we are going to see how Paul challenged Timothy to put up with the pain of suffering for the sake of the gospel. Timothy, however, would have to endure not by his own strength, but by the strength that only God can supply. So God's grace in Christ gives us the hope and the strength that we need to endure suffering and difficulty. Maybe, what's the most you've ever seen someone bench press? I've seen like 500 pounds, like it's like the bar looks like it's bending. The actual record's like 1,075 pounds. Or maybe you've seen someone like tear a phone book in half. Do you remember those guys back in the day? Was it the power team? Yeah, those big muscle guys that said, by the power of God, I can, yeah. Okay, they were both on the power team. Yeah, power couple. So these feats are outwardly impressive, and they require tremendous amounts of training. In fact, those that compete at the highest levels in strength competitions and train full-time and eat a strict high-protein diet, in other words, their strength must be consistently maintained. Otherwise, their muscles will deteriorate. Growth in physical strength requires sacrifice. It requires that we are willing to suffer. So the same is true for our spiritual health. It must be maintained, and it must be strengthened, and it often requires a willingness to suffer. But thankfully, our spiritual health does not depend on our own strength or abilities, right, guys? But only God's grace. God's grace in Christ gives us hope and strength that we need to endure suffering and difficulty. So would you please open to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. And it says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who are willing to teach others also. So the unique nature of Paul's command in verse 1 might be more clearly apparent if we stop to consider that what Paul did not say. Okay, he did not tell Timothy to toughen up, nor did he promise Timothy that he would not face a similar persecution. Things could very well become even more difficult for Timothy than they were right here. In light of this, Paul commanded Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do you guys understand that? Do you guys see the good news of the gospel here? This is so important. In other words, Paul reminds Timothy of God's undeserved kindness that has been secured for him through Jesus. The reality that we are loved and accepted before God based on his unconditional love and not on the basis of our own strength or abilities or morality is incredibly powerful. This was the truth that Timothy needed to hear so that he stayed the course in preaching and serving and raising up leaders in a very difficult place. Similarly, if you will truly believe that God loves you and accepts you on the basis of who Jesus is and what he has done for you, you will find God empowering you to stay firm in the faith and continue living on in the mission in the midst of difficulty. Guys, the Summer Olympics are coming up. How many of you guys like the Summer Olympics? What's your favorite event to watch? Summer Olympics, not winter. Yes. Gymnastics. No, thank you. Yeah, what else? What else you guys like? I love the running events. I think those are amazing. Swimming? No way. I like swimming. Okay, let me just... Oh, Nathan, what's your... Beach volleyball is pretty cool. How many of you guys will actually watch the Olympics? It's starting at the end of July. I hope you do. It's pretty awesome. If you could be a gold medalist in any event, which one would it be? Hot dog eating. That's July 4th. But yes. Hot dog eating. Yes. Water polo. With a team, yeah. Okay. What else? What would you be the best at? The mile. Beach volleyball. All right. So let's go back a few years. This was right about the time that you guys were probably your first Summer Olympics that you might remember. Well, maybe not. Some of you guys are pretty young. 2008? Right. We're getting there. Beijing Summer Olympics. So do you remember any of the big name stories from those games? I heard Michael Phelps already. That was already said, yep. So first is Michael Phelps. He completely dominated by winning 8 swimming gold medals. Do you remember the 4x2 relay where one of his teammates came from behind to win? Or how about the 0.01 hundredth of a second to win the 100-meter butterfly? The second awesome story, what's another story that you guys remember? Or who do you remember? Usain Bolt, yes. Running away with the track and field headlines by shattering the 100 and the 200-meter world records. It was absolutely awesome watching him run. It almost looked like he was jogging to the wind, like he was so much faster than everybody else. Does anybody else remember a third crazy story? There might have been. Was she from Bloomington? Because we had, I don't think that was this Olympics. What do you think? Okay, pole vaulter. That's a crazy story. Let me tell you the third one I'm thinking about. The third one connected to this Olympics is one that we might not all remember. The men's and women's 4x100-meter relay. So the U.S. had pretty much dominated this event throughout the years, right? Both teams for the United States were favored to bring home the gold medal. But for the first time in the history of the modern-day Olympics, both U.S. teams did not even make the finals. Ooh, crazy story. Yeah, the reason. Why don't you think they made the finals? They dropped the baton. So they dropped the baton on exchanges in the preliminary heat. So today, I want to talk to you about both good baton passes in our spiritual lives. As a youth pastor, thinking through this idea, my mind immediately jumps to high school graduation. It marks a major transition moment for all of you guys. In a lot of ways, it marks the end of one leg of the race and the beginning of another. It also marks a significant moment of empowerment. You're now adults reaching the age of 18, and graduations mark major moves into adulthood. In the months to follow graduation, the move to college or the workforce are a transitional moment marked by independence. So to put it another way, we are in the season of passing the baton to our seniors and saying, go for it. So this is exactly like what's happening in the 2 Timothy 2 passage I just read. Do you guys see the race talk there, right? So do you hear there's 4 legs of this race? You've heard me teach these things. Paul is running and begins by passing the baton by teaching to, who's the second leg? Timothy. Timothy is now running. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people. That's the third leg, right? Timothy is called to pass the baton to trustworthy people. And now we're getting the anchor leg, right? Who will be able to pass it on to others? Those trustworthy people pass the baton on to others. I love this picture. For those of you here this morning, I piggybacked on what I was talking about earlier. I love the picture. It's the core of what we do here in student ministry, from preschool ministry and nursery on up, is we just keep trying to invest in kids and in middle schoolers and high schoolers. And hopefully by the time that you develop this independence, you're independently having that relationship with Christ and be able to take it far beyond the walls of the church and share it with others. And I've only been doing this for two and a half years. And I've seen things go really well sometimes, but I've seen some batons get dropped. So the idea of passing a baton goes far beyond the youth ministry. For you seniors that are graduating, and some of you are already doing this, I would encourage you to find a place to serve and plug in, whether it's in the elementary or middle school level, and maybe here in a few years, you can come back and serve alongside high schoolers. Some of you seniors have even said, hey, I've already been meeting with this underclassman. I'd like to continue to disciple them. Keep doing that. That's a good thing. We want to see that continue to go. All right. This might sound a little weird, but I think we can learn some great lessons on good spiritual handoffs from the rules that govern track and field relays. So here's some actual rules from the USTF, United States Track and Field. So rule 25, baton must be smooth, hollow, circular tube made of wood, metal, or rigid material in one piece. It gives specific lengths that it needs to be, and no material or substance may be applied to the baton, so it can't be sticky, okay? All right, so thought number one, it has to be the right baton. Our baton is the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And so when it comes to investing in others, we can get focused on a lot of good things, but they're not always the main thing. They're not always the right thing. So for some of you right now, you've been seeking after this 4.0 or, you know, or certain athletic accomplishment or scholarships or success. You know, there are a lot of things that we set our eyes on that are good things, but they don't need to be our primary thing. Sometimes we get so focused on the good things that we lose sight of the God things. So I hope that we're developing as a group, the unified group, that is committed to investing the truth of Jesus Christ's saving grace in his death and resurrection. I want you guys to be sharing that amongst each other and reminding each other of the gospel each and every day, because that is the only thing that's going to change your life. The gospel solely has the power to transform your hearts and your minds. Rule number two, as I kind of continue through this just short little passage, talks about the handoff zone, right? You guys know there's a handoff zone, so there's a spot where you can't get the baton before, but you can't get it afterwards, right? I used to run relays, and you, sometimes you might get a head start, and you'd be like, oh, my dude is dying, so you got to, like, slow down so you make sure you get the baton before the end of the zone. So, because if you're outside that zone, you're disqualified. So the thought number two about this passage is that the space to pass the baton is limited. So in case you're confused, what this rule is saying is lines that are marked here to here. If you fail to do so, it's over for your team. I want to take a moment to talk about time management and priorities, right? So as seniors and as I interact with students and parents during graduation, I regularly hear the statement, they grow up so fast, or I wish I had more time in high school. I don't want to kind of move on yet. There is a day coming where students are going to head out on their own. Hopefully, many of you guys stick around and come back. But I want to make sure that you're making the most of the time that you have. This is actually kind of more of a charge now to the freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. You're seeing these seniors leave right now, and their time's up. Their time's up to make as big of an impact on the underclassmen as they had. So juniors, it is now time to step up, and don't waste the time that you have. I want to challenge you to do that, as well as these awesome small group leaders that we've had all year long, which some of them are parents, some are not, but keep investing in that during that window of time. Okay, so rule number 12, baton carried in one hand throughout the race. If it's dropped, it shall be recovered by the athlete who dropped it. He or she may leave the assigned lane to retrieve the baton, provided that no other runner is impeded, and provided that by doing so, the distance to be covered is not lessened. So you can't, like, chuck it ahead. I don't know. So a dropped baton, thought number three, a dropped baton is not the end of the race. This rule was fascinating to me, right? Because when I was in high school, if you dropped the baton, you had to do like 100 push-ups. Like, you just never, you protected the baton. But I went to some races this year where some people got angry after their race and they threw the baton, and their coach must not make them do push-ups. But you don't ever drop the baton. You don't drop it during a race. You don't drop it afterwards. I always thought that that meant disqualification, but this rule makes it clear that the race is not over as long as the one who initially drops it picks it up and the other rules that I just said. So what does this have to do with spiritual transitions? A lot. There is a lot of research and books and blog posts out there that telling us that faith is being abandoned by youth group kids during their college years. The statistics are just depressing, to be honest. So even though I'm a stats guy, I'm not even going to go into it. But let's just say that out of the 40 to the 60 of you guys that are here right now, say there's 50 of you guys here right now, 25 of you are going to be hanging around. 4 years from now, 25 of you are going to be off doing your own thing. That's sad. I hope we are not the norm in this youth group. I hope we're stronger than that, because that 40 to 60% of graduates that will leave during their college years is quite depressing. It's a legitimate concern. It's a very personal concern for me. Students are either dropping the baton in their postgraduate years, or something is going wrong with the baton pass. A lot of the response to the research has been blame shifting. It's the youth group's fault. It's the parents' fault. It's the older people in the church's fault. You know, all talking about differences of, like, you know, it's all activities, or it's their responsibility, not the pastors, or, you know, for older folks in the congregation, that they're just tuned out this younger generation. I find this entire conversation absolutely frustrating. I despise it. Don't get me wrong. I think that there's plenty of blame to go around, but yet I get this mental picture of a group of people staring at the drop baton. and discussing how it happened and whose fault it was as the race continues on. With the track and field rules, there is no issue with who is at fault with the drop of the baton. The key is that the baton simply gets picked up and the race continues on. So with the spiritual reference here, it's the same. If we were to stop talking about a drop baton and start walking toward that baton, wouldn't things be so different? So to those people that are in the room today who fumbled the baton as you tried to pass it on, right? Maybe you feel like you fumbled the baton. Like maybe you felt like, I was a part of the youth group and then I wasn't, and then I came back, and then I don't know what my, you know, the things I've done. Maybe it's through hypocritical living or maybe just through neglect. Whatever the case is that you think that you fumbled the baton, pick it back up and focus on passing it on to the next person, the next class, the next disciplee. So maybe some of you guys have received a baton, but you've dropped it, and maybe you've turned your back on God. Maybe you're caught up in your own selfish desires. Maybe it's been a slow drop from apathy and distraction. Whatever the case, pick it back up and get in the race. For the small group leaders, maybe we're carrying the baton in the takeover lane. You know, that could be a parent with a teenager or a small group leader or a coach, someone who has a Timothy in their life. The one who has been walking with Jesus for years, but you've never considered how to invest in others. That's who I want to be picking up this baton. And for our leaders, I'm not necessarily directly speaking to, but there are a lot of people here at LifePoint. We could have so many more people investing in your lives, and I pray that that happens in the years to come. So right now, I'm going to wrap up real quick. I'm going to cut this short. It's the who and the how time. Who are you going to pass that baton to, and how do you plan to do it? All right, so as we head into small groups tonight, you guys have been seniors and sophomores, juniors and freshmen. The whole idea is to be encouraging each other and developing the underclassmen so that they can take over as upperclassmen and handing off that baton. So tonight in our small groups, I've got some small group questions for you. I've also got some feedback questions that if you want to share with me or your small group leader, just how we can continue to improve things. I want you guys to be thinking of who is it that I need to be getting the baton from, or who do I need to be handing it to? And what are you going to do now in order to do that? So again, as we think of how we want to walk away transformed, let me just reference 2 Timothy chapter 1 one more time. 2 Timothy 1, if you'd flip over to that with me, I'm going to start in verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Tonight, as I close, I'm going to close in prayer here in just a moment. Let me close in prayer, and then I'll tell you what we're doing next and how the rest of the night's going to look. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for your word. I just pray that each student here and leader here will be so in love with your word that they thirst for time in the word, and that you will speak in and through, and that it'll accomplish all that it was purposed to do in our lives. Lord, I pray for the students that will be moving on from high school student ministry and into the college ministry, that they will, that their pace will have picked up over the last couple of years, and that they will hit the ground running as they enter this new phase of life. For the underclassmen that are here, I pray, Lord, that they will have been strengthened this year by some of the upperclassmen influence. But Lord, even so, if that hasn't happened, Lord, let us pick up that baton and let us run and let's finish well. Lord, I am thankful for every student that's here, and I'm thankful for every leader that's here. And Lord, they've been a huge blessing to me. So Lord, as we go later tonight, I pray that you protect them and keep them and guard them. Lord, we love you and we thank you for a great school year. Amen.